Okay, so the Lord led me to this case study on elevated peace in the book of Ezra.
Okay.
And the title he gave me is Elevated Peace for the Church.
Praise God. Okay, now.
All right. So what I'm going to do is just read over the entire content, you know, go through the scriptures, and then I have my commentary, my Rhema reflections at the end. So those will be separate just to kind of keep it, because it was so, like Apostle said, it's so much. So I'll try to break it down piece by piece. All right. So we start off in Ezra chapter 1:1-3. And just to set the tone of what's going on in this, you know, just where Ezra starts at, the Israelites are returning to Israel from Babylon, from captivity. And so here we start off. Verse 1, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with them. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. Okay, so then we go down to Ezra 1:5-6. It says, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised up. Has raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things beside all that was willingly offered.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So now we're going to go to, he took me to Ezra 4:1-6. And we start off, it says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose.
Wow.
All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, now we move on to Ezra 4:23-24. It says, now when the copy of King Xerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by power and force. So basically, just to kind of break that down, they wrote an accusation to the king about the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So they petitioned the king to try to get them to stop building the temple. And so they tell the king that the Jews have a history in that city of not paying taxes, not paying tribute. You know, they're rebellious, they'll cause an insurrection. So they conspired together to create this problem in order to persuade the king, you know, to cause them to stop. So verse 24, so the king approves their request and puts out a commandment to say, yeah, make them stop. So in verse 24, it says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased. So the work of the temple, they were successful in getting it to stop. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Okay, so then the next chapter goes to Ezra 5:1-5. And here we see, this is key to the elevated peace. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. Verse 3, and at the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar Bozni, and their companions, and said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Mm-hmm. So the enemy is coming at the same time that they begin to rebuild.
Yeah.
Verse 4, then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? So verse 5, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease.
Amen.
Till the matter came to Darius, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. So basically, verse 5 is explaining that they had to basically do an appeal to the king, you know, to try to, they continue to build, but they had to appeal to the king to see, you know, what he would decide on them continuing to build.
Mm-hmm.
So we skip down to Ezra 5:16-17. Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in the building, and yet is not finished. So verse 16 is them explaining to the king what has been going on and why they want to keep building, you know, keep building the temple. So they're petitioning. Now this is Judah and Jerusalem petitioning the king to say in verse 17, now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus, the king, to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. So they say to him, go back and research what Cyrus first told us that we could do. He allowed us, you know, to build the temple. He was in favor of that. So they're telling this king that's now in power, which is Darius, go look up the record. Okay?
Amen.
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 So then we jump to, this is going to be Darius's response. And I apologize because it's so much in these chapters. I'm trying to paraphrase what's going on. So Darius goes and finds the record of when Cyrus allowed them to build the temple, and this is his response. So we go back, we go to Ezra 6, 1 through 2. It says, then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid in Babylon. And there was found at Akmetha in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written. So he finds the record and he decrees a new law that says, in verse 7, let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Then he adds to this and says in verse 8, moreover, I make a decree. What you shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, for with expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail.
Okay.
So basically, he's blessing them. He's saying, whatever they need, give it to them. Amen. Verse 10, they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. And then he adds again, another decree. Verse 11, also I have made a decree that whoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. Verse 12, and the God that has caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God, which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. So this is the king favoring their cause. Favoring their petition, allowing them to do the work to build the temple. Okay. Amen. Then we jump down to Ezra 6, verse 14 through 22. It says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Xerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. Verse 17, and they offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. Verse 20, for the priests and the Levites were purified together, all of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
I want to go back. I know that was a lot, but piece by piece and just break this down. When I was reading it, I felt like I was watching a drama TV series or something. Mm-hmm. So the first note is so we go back to Ezra 1:1-3. The first note is about how the Spirit of God stirred up the king of Cyrus to build a temple for him. This, and he said it that this was so that the word of Jeremiah could be fulfilled. So this is automatically showing us that the purpose of the Lord was to stir up the spirit, in stirring up the spirit of the king of Cyrus was that the Rhema could be fulfilled. So he did not allow his word to return void. It accomplished what he said it was going to do.
Amen.
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 Then in Ezra verse 1, you know, chapter 1, verse 2, we see that God can use anyone to accomplish his will, his purpose, and his plans. Cyrus was a pagan king, yet God used him as an instrument in his hands at will. This shows us that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and he turns it in whatsoever way that he wills.
Amen.
Just like Amen. Proverbs, that's Proverbs 21:1. So mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what earthly authority is in power and ruling over us, God can override that. We can be elevated in peace, knowing that the God we serve has all authority, dominion, and power over every created thing in heaven and in earth.
Yes, ma'am.
God was able to give a pagan king his vision to allow the building of his temple in the temperament of the eagle, because Cyrus knew exactly where the temple was supposed to be built at. He said Judah.
Amen.
So that was eagle giving him specific geographic region and location.
Amen, God.
Amen. Amen.
So you can see the Spirit of the Lord, you know, stirring him up to have that type of eyesight. Amen.
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 Now, when it comes to Ezra 1, verse 5. This was really powerful because when I looked up, it says, then rose up. So they hear the summon from the king of Cyrus, you know, come build the temple. And they rise up to the hearing of what he said. So when I researched what up, that means to rise. Let me actually, you guys, I have my notes right here. Let me share my notes.
They were willing. Willingly offered.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Did it show?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So the word up means to rise, to arise, stand, abide, rise up, enjoin, lift up, elevation.
Elevated.
Mm-hmm. Succeed, become powerful, to come on the scene, to be fulfilled, mm-hmm. to raise up, to stand up, stir up, to carry out, give effect to, bring on the scene. I love that part, bring on the scene. To be mm-hmm. fixed, to be established, be confirmed, to be valid, to be proven, built, and erect. So I saw the temperament of the lion in their dominion, the authority, and the boldness causing them to rise up in order to answer the call to rebuild the temple.
Amen.
Amen. And also, you know, the elevation and the ascent is ego.
Amen. Amen.
Now this Hallelujah. Part where with all of them whose spirit Hallelujah. God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, this is the idea of opening the eyes. Raised means the idea of opening the eyes to wake, to rouse oneself, awaken in sight, to be excited, triumphant, to stir up. Mm. So you can see the elevation in that definition.
Yeah.
You know, as well as the temperament of eagle.
Amen.
They knew the exact mission they were being called to.
That's good.
And they knew the purpose that they were coming together for was to build, you know, the house of the Lord. And they knew what the result was intended to be. So this was corporate eyesight for the church because they were all unified in vision from elevated peace.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So then when we go to Ezra 1:6, it says, and all that they were about them strengthened their hands. Now that was really powerful when I studied out what strengthen definition. It means to prevail, harden, be strong, to be courageous, be firm, grow firm, be resolute, be secure, to grow stout, to press, be urgent, to sustain, encourage, make bold, to display strength, to support, to hold, to contain, to keep hold, to withstand, to hold strongly. Now, ironically, when I looked up the word hands, that means strength, power, portion, means.
Praise God.
Amen.
I was like, wow, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Spirit.
Okay. So, and all that they were about them strengthen their means. So that's in the temperament of the ox and the lion, giving them endurance, courage, you know, the ability to press, the boldness, the strength. So we see the spirit of the Lord once again demonstrated here.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. So when we break down Ezra 4:1-2, here's when the enemy offered leaven to them with false peace and partnership offered, right? So they say, it says now, keyword, now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that they were building, then they came. Immediately. So we see here that the enemy has a hearing ear too. He's listening out for awareness of our declarations, intentions, desires, activities, and plans for victory, vision, and accomplishments.
Yes, it's so true.
Yes, it is.
So he was keeping a close eye on what the Jews were doing. So as soon as he heard activity, he's at the scene. So we see that the adversary showed up because, you know, the adversary showed up because they heard the children of Israel were busy about their father's business. Now, I thought this was, that part stuck out to me after they started building. So activity, action. Here comes the enemy when you're moving. This is an example of Mark 4:15, because it says the enemy comes immediately.
That's right.
To take away the word that's sown. And that's proof. That verse is proof.
Amen.
This situation is proof of that scripture. Amen.
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 So then that's here good. Also, we see that the enemy came and tried to give the people of God leaven.
Yeah, he did.
He tried to offer them a business partnership in an alliance to co-build the temple together with them.
Wow.
My goodness.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, so this was an evil scheme to infiltrate and frustrate their purpose because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Matthew 12:25. This was an example of a little leaven trying to spoil the whole lump. They tried to use compromise, false peace, and infiltrate the project.
Trying to join to them.
They tried to join.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, then they lie and say, "For let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him." Mm. Lies. And it's a lie because we see what happens next when they refuse.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, Ezra 4:3. It says the children of Israel refused to accept any leavened bread.
Amen.
So here we see the people of God standing like firm pillars of fire, being unshakable, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. They refused to accept any offers for help from the adversary. You have Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chiefs telling the enemy, "You have nothing to do with us."
Yes, God.
That blessed me.
So good. So, mm-hmm. So good.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing to do with us.
Refuse their means.
We ourselves together will build. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That blessed me so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So they refused to accept any offers for help from their adversaries. They did not eat any leavened bread from the enemy's attempt to convince them to try to join up. They told lies like they had the same intention, you know, saying the children of Israel were steadfast in declaring, "You have nothing to do with us to build our house." They did not allow any spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Good, good, good. Real good.
They boldly declared and elevated peace. "We ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel." Amen. And there was solidarity among the people.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So here I saw that propitiation was their vision and persuasion was their
force. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Perfect example. So they refused to compromise or be moved. They stood firm in the word of the Lord. And we say, how do we know this to be true? Because in verse 4, we see immediately how the adversary responds to their declaration of bold faith and authority and elevated peace. So up here, what tickled me was them coming and saying, "Hey, let us build. You know, for we see God, you know, we're on the same page." That was a lie, right? Because as soon as they told them, "No, we don't want nothing to do with y'all," then here we go in Ezra 4, the people came against them. Okay, so it was false peace.
Mm-hmm.
It was Amen. False peace. That was fake. And they had the discernment to see through it. So it says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, troubled them in building, and mm-hmm. hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. You know, and then they wrote the king trying to, you know, slander. So mm-hmm. here we see the enemy did not like what he heard.
mm-hmm.
He did not like how they did not move from their place of elevated peace. It makes them mad.
That's real good.
Yes, it is.
Standing firm in Rhema makes him mad. Mm. So he immediately went from trying to feed them leaven by hearing to other drastic methods. So then, again, I had already mentioned it. It's like, what happened to the partnership? I thought you were trying to build with us, and now you just flip, you know, to the other side. So what happened, it says their actions proved that this was false peace and a bunch of lies. The children of God had discernment to see the truth behind their ploy. Okay. So then they go to the king and try to make them stop, since they could not be partners and be in alliance. So here, when I looked up the information here, this is when they go to the king and they tell him, you know, the history of the city and how, they're known for being rebellious. They're known for not paying their taxes. And they really pitch to him the idea that, you know, they're going to, you know, impact your revenue stream, you know, that you get from them not paying, you know, if they don't pay taxes, they're messing up your money. So I thought that was interesting. But in verse 24, it popped out to me how as soon as he gave the command to say, you know, yeah, go ahead and make them stop, the enemy went in haste, you know, running to go shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it made them to cease by force and power to stop the work of the Lord. So when I looked up what cease meant, that means to hinder, to stop, you know. And so the note is the enemy succeeded in using the king to stop the building process of the temple. They could not wait to be the ones to cause a disruption to the progress. So this is a key point. It is said that this might have been, so they stopped building the temple. And when I researched it, they said about 10 years had went by that it was in standstill.
Wow.
Okay, so that's like a decade of them not building.
Mm.
Wow. So in the natural, that was a setback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for a moment, the kingdom of God suffered violence because the enemy was successful in shutting the project down. But then we see in the next chapter that the violent took it by force. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that blessed me about the elevated peace. So Ezra 5:1, God caused a second uprising. The Spirit of God raised up the leaders of Jerusalem to go and build again. But this time they heard Rhema out of the mouth of the prophets to go and build.
Amen.
Amen.
Not just a regular man king. And that really stuck out to me. I said, wow. Because I said, well, I'm like, that they're going for the second time. How is this time different? It's because it's coming out of the mouth of the prophets.
Amen. Good, good.
So Ezra 5:1, then the prophets rose up, they prophesied in the name of the God of Israel. So here we see the finest example of elevated peace, because after the enemy caused the work of the house of God to cease by law, the two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, they joined in agreement and he raised up two. So we know that's agreement and union.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To prophesy unto the Jews. We know that God moves to perform the words out of the mouth of his true prophets by Rhema and bring fulfillment. So the Bible says, then the prophets prophesied unto the Jews. When I looked up what that word then means right here, says then the prophets. That word then means at that time, soon after that, next in order of time, following next after in order of position, narration, or enumeration, being next in a series. It means in addition, in that case, besides, and this is the one I liked, as a necessary consequence.
Oh.
Amen.
So in Ezra 5:2, he raises up the prophets. He says, they begin to build the house of God. And with them, the prophets and the leaders build together. So he showed me that this was, he used the two prophets to strengthen and encourage the two leaders to come to start building again. So remember, a decade had gone by with no action. But the word of the Lord comes by Rhema under the prophets to start up the project again.
Amen.
Elevated peace.
Amen.
Elevated action, elevated word. That was so powerful to me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So they prospered in building the temple through the prophesying of the Rhema word. So this was like a tag team dynamic duo.
That's good. That's real good.
Amen. Because you have the prophets and you have the leaders. So look at how the Rhema was used to support and encourage the builders.
Yes, Lord.
So it ended up sustaining and strengthening them for the work.
Amen.
To continue without ceasing, because the prophetic word held it up in elevated peace. And when I read that part, I saw the power of the word to hold up, lift up, raise up, keep it elevated.
Amen. Amen.
I saw it. I'm like, wow, you can see here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Then we have, then after that, it says, and at the same time, so right again, you see the enemy coming immediately. As soon as they start activity again. Because it says at the same time. So at the time, it's 10 years of standstill, no action. As soon as the Rhema word goes forth under the prophets, activates the people, here comes the enemy again. That was like, wow.
Who has commanded you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the same time, the governor comes, you know, and the fact that he asks the question, who have commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? You know, then we said unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? Now, this is what blessed me, you guys, is the God's elevated peace causes them to continue to work. So they're so high up in elevated peace. They're not even studying this person at this point. They're not studying the governor. Because it says, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews that they could not make them to cease. They could not stop the work.
Amen.
Too good.
That's good. He was able to shut them down the first time, but the second time, once the prophets got involved and started to help, they could not stop them. That spoke volumes on the power of elevated peace and the Rhema word.
Yeah.
The dominion, the authority. They're not studying these earthly people. they were so high in the spirit. And when I looked up the word eye, it means spring, fountain, a physical eye, of mental and spiritual faculties. Guess what? Favor.
Favor of their God was upon them.
Amen. Favor. So this says the enemy appears once again at the same time immediately when the work of the temple begins again and questions their authority. But God's favor and elevated peace causes them to continue the work until the issue was elevated up the chain of command to King Darius. They were not moved by slander. They were unbothered. The Rhema elevated them to continue the work without being
slandered. Amen.
Amen. Hey. Amen.
Amen, God.
Yes, God.
So this part I'll just kind of summarize for the sake of time. The children of Israel petitioned King Darius to research the previous law from King Cyrus that allowed them to build. The part that stuck up, they're like, if it seemed good to the king, you know, let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. So at this point, they're not even worried. You know, they're like, whatever he decides, God has us. That's how I saw that part.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, they're still elevated.
Amen.
Praise God.
And this part blessed me, you know, just showing the favor again. Yes. What popped out most on this story, you guys, is like it, like God is above earthly everything, and so it doesn't matter what king is in control. You're not running nothing. Like,
amen. Amen.
Oh, bless God.
Bless me the most. I'm like, God.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah, God.
Mama-jama. Like, it's, we don't have to worry. Like, it's just, I was like, oh, he just has us, you know? So, you know, he, King Darius ends up issuing a decree. Just blessings on blessings on blessings, you know, like, let the work of God continue. Don't touch them. Then on top of that, give them everything they need. So here's where the benefits, favor.
Yes, 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 go. Yes.
They're services.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Abundance, anything they need. The king's like, we got you. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I'll make sure you got everything you need.
That's good.
No problem. That's elevated peace.
That's right. Oh,
yes, sir. Favors.
Excellent. Excellent.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, Lord. And what was interesting, you know, so they, anything they had need of, and then this part stuck out to me, let it be given them day by day without fail. Because what do we eat day by day?
Day by day.
The bread.
Awesome.
The heavenly bread.
Excellent.
Our daily bread.
Day by day.
Yes, yes, yes.
So look at how God matched that.
Hallelujah.
Without fail. Oh,
that's good.
Without fail.
Real good.
Mm-hmm.
The Father's just awesome.
Yes, yes.
Sure enough is.
He is, yes, so awesome. So, you know, and then I just, you know, that pointed out of him just saying, you know, he blessed them to make sure nobody else touched them. You know, he said anybody who touches them, they're going to be destroyed. I love that, because it just, that in itself, they didn't have to worry. Again, they had elevated peace. Nobody's going to touch them because the king just made a new law. So they're covered. And that reminded me, of course, similar to the three Hebrew boys, you know, they had favor with the king. And the king ends up, you know, creating a whole new law to protect them, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So just for the sake of time, I'm just going to summarize. The temple was built. It really blessed to see how long it took to build the temple, because they probably, you know, had times where they felt like this is not going to get done. I mean, it was 10 years of a standstill. You know, so they could have gotten discouraged and given up, but the Rama sustained them. You know,
the prophets came and
said, no, we got a commandment. We got something to do. We have a purpose for the Lord. Let's get it. And to see that they finally completed the work, you know,
hallelujah, Jesus.
God's word did not return void, and it accomplished what he set out to do.
Thank you.
Amen.
You know, so that's a blessing to see that.
Hallelujah.
You know, it doesn't matter how long it tarries. You know, it might tarry for an appointed time, but it's going to come to pass. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. You know, so they, you know, and then it just goes on to say that they received, you know, the dedication with joy, you know, and they were happy. They were united. I mean, it's just a positive outcome, you know, to see all that they went through, and it ended up, you know, in happiness, because the Lord just continued to bless.
Amen.
You know, it says, and he kept the, you know, they kept the festival with joy. The Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king and strengthened their hands. So that blessed me, that part where it says that, you know, he strengthened their hands, because Apostle, you know, shared recently, it's not by might or, you know, power, it's by his spirit, you know. So he will strengthen us if he has work for us to do. We don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
And the Rhema and stay in elevated peace. So in summary, you know, the word of the Lord was fulfilled. His temple was finished. Order was established according to the commandments of the Lord. The temple actually symbolized the rebuilding of the Jewish nation, which was its center, because remember, they were coming out of captivity, you know, from Babylon. So it was very important that this task was accomplished, because it symbolized a new start for them, you know.
Amen.
And that made me think about the deliverance and the propitiation, you know, how God just gives us a fresh start, and, you know, and we just, he just covers us from whatever we went through in the past, you know, he can start fresh with us. Amen.
Amen.
So it just says they were filled with joy, you know, as they came together to honor God and to put his ways first, you know, again, after coming from the pagan nations and out of sin. They set up God's system and they went back to his festivals and commandments. They purified themselves and they came back to his word. So after a long drawn out battle, the Jews ended up in God's grace, favor, and elevated peace.
Praise God.
Amen. So that was my case study. I tried to condense it as much as I could, but I hope that it blessed all the hearers of it. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Juwan,
can you do me a favor? Can you scroll back to the last page of your notes?
Sure.
This was really, really excellent. I just can't not say something here that's so profound. Look at verse 22. It says, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. They kept the feast of they were feasting about the unleavened bread that had come through the mouth of the prophets. Now they're doing a feast with it, and then God turns the king of Assyria's heart unto them. So but they're in the feast of unleavened bread. That's what they needed. See, at first, the first king gave them favor. God turned his heart. The work ceases for 10 years, and then God fills the mouth of the prophet with unleavened again, the bread of heaven again, and then the work goes forward. And everybody, I love how you said it, Juwan, propitiation became their vision, persuasion became their force. Amen. And at the end of it here, they keep the feast of unleavened bread, celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
How symbolic and how powerful is that? They're feasting with what got them over. They're having a festival with what got them and got the work done.
Yes.
Amen.
And then more favor. Now all the benefits come out now, like Juwan said, all of the benefits, the services, the favors, all that they needed day by day was given unto them because God turned the heart of the king.
Bless God.
So, Juwan, that was really, really, really powerful. And I love the title. I love Elevated Peace for the Church. That's the title, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because this story does point to how the church would really ascend into elevated peace.
Hallelujah, Lord.
By simply eating this rhema. And what God is saying, we would elevate. And I loved it. I'm sorry, I'm gonna shut my mouth for just a second. I loved how she pointed out that no matter what the enemy does, he cannot stop. Mm-hmm. He cannot stop what God has spoken. So there's really no reason to ever lose our place of elevation. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
No matter what.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I like Zechariah, the son of Edu. Look at that. The word Edu means the prepared roads, the word that's prepared the way. Zechariah, the son of Edu. Powerful. I'm just looking at the whole thing. Juwan, stellar work. Snaps up. I mean, really, really good stuff. That was really excellent.
Amen.
Does anybody else? I can't let it go without letting people say and comment some things about this, because there was so much. There's so many fragments within this word.
Oh,
it's
my
just
goodness,
really
yes.
Just, I mean, there's a feast within this here.
Yes, there is. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else want to comment on what they heard? Any of their oohs and ahs? I had several of them, but I don't because of time. But anyone else?
two of my favorite. I wrote a bunch down, but two of my favorite was when they first had gotten the word of the Lord and the instruction of building, it said that they willingly offered, and that their strength, they strengthened their hands, which meant means. Mm-hmm. So because of the word, they were now in the means of the Lord.
That's so good.
In the building of it. And my second one, it says, but the eye, which meant favor, the eye of God was upon them.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's so good.
When his favor is, when he's looking at you, ain't nothing around you that can come at you. Anybody saying anything, anybody doing anything can change his system. Okay. In which results, his system in which results are brought about, it's not going to be changed.
No. It's Amen. Not. It's not. Absolutely. That's so, so good.
Two of my favorites. So good. There was many fragments.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Anybody Amen. Else have an ooh and ah, that a fragment they want to share?
Yes, I do. At the very end, at the end, when I was seeing how, I almost want to say, because of the delay, that 10-year delay, mm-hmm. They receive so much more. They receive, so much more.
Oh, no,
just, it was like the delay just caused them to get even more abundantly. All their needs were met.
Yeah.
Every need was met. I mean, anything they needed, the king was ready to supply. So that that delay was, I almost want to say, even though we know it was the enemy, but you know how God can turn things around.
Right.
It was almost like a divine delay for it to come.
It was.
To Darius, for Darius to be the king, and the Lord just letting him just pour out whatever they needed.
Right.
And I saw that, and it just blessed me. And there's,
we know that
Dr. Allison said, there's Amen. Many more that I saw, but that blessed me.
Jesus, Amen. That's so good. And we know that the number 10, Elder Donna, is God with man.
Amen. Yes.
That was something being fulfilled there.
Amen. Amen.
That when finally the word of the Lord would come out of the mouth of the prophets, the rhema word would give them all the strength that they needed to go forward and get it done. And so that was so divinely, man, boy, oh boy. We talked about this earlier, how there was a long stretch for Abraham to eat the rhema word about his seed coming forth.
True.
There was a long stretch that God had to keep feeding him rhema, feeding him the unleavened about what was going to happen. We're talking about this man's now 100 years old, but God kept sustaining him.
Yes.
The timing of God, and when it releases, everything comes together in perfection.
Yeah.
God tries us. Our faith is being tried. It's being tried constantly.
Yes.
And
yes.
So the 10-year stretch, Hallelujah. That was definitely divine, Elder Donna.
Amen.
That was Hallelujah. Definitely divine.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I want to say something.
Come on, Jay.
It's like music to my ears when I heard her teach it tonight, and kind of piggybacking off what Mom said. About the king just ready to supply everything that they needed when they needed it and how they needed it. That just confirmed everything that I had taught, you know, about everything yielding to serve.
To serve you Amen. Now.
Amen. Amen. That's the truth.
Yes.
That's the truth.
I mean, that part really blessed me.
Yes. Truly. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Truly powerful.
Amen.
Man, there's a lot. There's a lot in this here. There's a lot. There's so, so much. Anyone else?
Bless God.
I was going to say that's the increased abnormally as in degree or amount. They got abnormal resources.
Yeah.
That's right.
in a big degree.
That's true elevation.
Yep.
That's true elevation. When things become abnormal, when it doesn't look like it should be going like this, you're in the place of elevation with God. It doesn't make any sense. Doctors say you can't be healed of it, that it's incurable. They say this, and all of a sudden you're elevated, and now things that they're saying, it looks abnormal to the natural.
Yes, amen. Amen.
For the king to pour out all that stuff to them day by day.
Yes.
And he said, without fail.
Yeah, without fail.
Yeah. That means it was limited.
And then he says, you know, in verse 10, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his son. So he recognized the position.
Yes, he did. Wow. Yes.
He's like, I want y'all to bless me, so I'm going to bless you.
Yes. It's for favor.
Favor for favor.
Favor for favor.
Come on now. Excellent. I mean, this was really, John, once again, really, really good.
Amen.
Really, really good. And the way that God uses you to build the story and how you get in it, you come from the strangest but most beautiful angles and really pull out, really pull out. You remind me, Sister Erica, she does that. She comes from strange angles with things and it blesses me.
Yes.
It blesses me. I was talking to Evangelist Darrell today. And Evangelist Darrell said this. He said, I can't believe how everyone sounds like you. He's been listening to all the case studies. He said, everyone sounds like you, Apostle. And I said, that's God. Because we're all eating from the same we're all eating from the same vineyard.
Amen.
We're eating, we're being fed. We got the same, we're eating the same exact unleavened bread. And that we have one, Jay used to say, one band, one sound. That's what we are. We're one band with one sound. And Javon, you really have come into the ministry and you have become such a part of the sound in this house.
Amen. Amen.
I can say I'm proud to have you.
Amen.
Apostle.
Yes, sir.
Can I say something to that, what you just said?
Absolutely.
As soon as you said that, you know what struck me was how the Bible says Peter's speech betrayed him.
That's right.
Because he sounded like Jesus.
Yes.
And that's why what I heard was that is a sign that the people of God are hearing the God in their leader when they sound like their leader. Amen. They're hearing the anointed one. On their life, and it's got each of them sounding, and I'm going to say me too, like our apostle. That's what I just heard.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Truly powerful, truly powerful. But awesome. This, amen, amen, evangelist, amen to that, big time. I remember Kevin Williams said this. Bishop Kevin Williams said, he said, you want to know what God sounds like? Your pastor. That's what God sounds like. If you want to hear God, you should be hearing the voice of your pastor in things and making decisions by the word he's been teaching.
Yes.
And you'll hear God just like that. And that always stuck with me, not because of me, just as it being a real truth that if a man or woman of God is really bringing the rhema, you're hearing God's voice.
Amen.
And I heard God's voice tonight.
Yes, amen. Amen.
And I heard the word. And so it's just a privilege for me. It's a privilege to hear you guys through these case studies. I mean, and just to hear where you really are. And man, I get so blessed.
Amen.
I get so blessed. Man, it gives me my own personal revival. It really does.
Bless God. Really amen.
I'm sorry, I want to keep going on and on. But I will say this, if you feel led to sow a seed into the word, you can do that. Just put it to a seed to the word, and we'll make sure that Javon gets the seed. And the reason why I'm seeding it like that, then I gave opportunity when people shared their case studies that you could sow into whatever gave you and whatever might have blessed you and the Lord lead you. But you can sow into the word, and we will make sure that she gets that after people do so, but only seeding to the word, unless the Lord has given you specific instruction about sowing another seed into the ministry or what have you. But we want to definitely, if you have it, if you want to sow, I'm going to sow because there were so many places that blessed me. I'll tell you what really, really, really blew up for me. It's just knowing, no matter what the devil tries to bring with his leaven, we don't have to eat it.
That's right.
We don't have to eat it. We don't have to take the compromise help that he might try to bring to the table.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We don't have to walk in any leaven, and we can wait on our God. We can wait on him, and we will be nourished with favor and prosperity.
Yes.
And that thing stuck out to me, so I'm going to sow on that. And so, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. All right, so that covers us in our expanded dominion time.